In the book of James, in chapter 1, we want to read from verse 19 through 20 in that first chapter. James chapter 1, verse 19 through 20. Reading in the New King James Version, James says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Men who give themselves up to wrath, that is to anger, do not work or produce the righteousness of God." That is, man's anger, uncontrolled and unchecked, does not accomplish, does not achieve, does not bring about, does not result in or work the righteousness of God. All of us have perhaps said angry words at one time or another. Words that we wish we could take back, but once they come out of our mouth, they cannot be taken back. Anger, uncontrolled and unchecked in one's life, does not produce the righteousness of God. That in and of itself ought to cause us to want to know about the righteousness of God in the context. Because having expressed our anger in words in times past, perhaps we'll do it again in the future. We need to recognize and realize that it does not bring about or achieve or result in the righteousness of God. So let's make a search this morning for the meaning of this in our study. First, we want to note that both God and Jesus are righteous. In John 17, in verse 25, Jesus, praying for his disciples, said, "O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me." O righteous Father, God is a righteous being. It is said of Jesus in 1 John 2 and in verse 1, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." To say that God and Jesus are righteous is to say that both are infinitely right. There is no wrong in them. They're infinitely right. They're infinitely upright and virtuous. All their actions, all their deeds, all the behavior that they engage in is upright and moral. There is no wrong in them. All they do is right and just. Thus they are said to be righteous. That's their character. If we're children of God, we will seek to be like our Father, like our elder brother, Jesus Christ. We will be righteous. That means we will be upright. We will be virtuous. We will do that which is right. But in our text, the righteousness of God is not what God is or does, but it has reference to what He requires of man to do, to work, to accomplish, to achieve. Note that. "For the wrath of man does not produce," some version says, "does not work up the righteousness of God," does not result or accomplish the righteousness of God. So it's not talking about the character of God here by this term, righteousness of God. But there is a righteousness of God that has to be produced, achieved, accomplished. There's something that man must do, something that man must work in order to work the righteousness of God. 1 John 2 and in verse 29, "If you know that He is righteous," that is, that God is righteous, "you know that everyone," note this, "who practices righteousness is born or begotten of Him." Everyone who practices righteousness, who doeth righteousness, the King James Version says, is begotten of Him, that is, begotten of God. If God is righteous, we are His children, and we practice righteousness, we have been begotten of Him. So again, there's something we have to do, there's something we have to produce, there's something we have to work. We have to work the righteousness of God in order to have the character of God. In 1 John 3 and in verse 7, "My little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he," that is in the context, "just as Jesus Christ is righteous." So we practice righteousness. What do we do when we practice righteousness? What do? When we work righteousness? When we achieve righteousness, accomplish righteousness. The righteousness of God is not something which is transferred or imputed to us, as some in the religious world believe. They believe that because Jesus was righteous, then His righteousness has been imputed or transferred to us. That's Calvinistic doctrine or teaching. Some even go so far to believe that one has their righteousness because it's been transferred from them through genes from their parents. Again, Calvinistic doctrine or teaching. But our righteousness is not something that's transferred or imputed from Christ. Our righteousness is something that comes by work, by us doing something. We achieve or accomplish the righteousness of God by that work. In 1 Corinthians 1 and in verse 30, some who have the idea that Christ's righteousness have been imputed or transferred to us come to this passage which reads, "But of Him you are in Christ Jesus." The Him, of course, is God under consideration. "But of God you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." So they come to this passage and they say, "Well, you see, Jesus has become righteousness for us." No, what it means is He has become the means of us becoming righteous. He's become the means of us being sanctified. He's become the means of us being redeemed. It's not that His righteousness has been transferred or imputed to us. He's simply the means by which we become righteous. That's what's under consideration in the context. By the very righteous act of Jesus Christ, we all can enjoy the having been justified from our sins. Having been justified, God pronounces us righteous. To be justified means to be forgiven or pardoned of one's sins. In Romans 5 and in verse 18, Paul said, "Therefore, as through one man's offense," that is through Adam's offense, "judgment came to all men," that is spiritual death came to all men, "resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act," through the righteous act of Jesus Christ in giving His life on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins, "the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life." Justification that leads to life. Justification, again, the forgiveness or pardoning of our sins, leads to life. Through that righteous act of Christ, we can be justified. When we're justified, then God declares or pronounces us righteous. But through that righteous act of Christ, it doesn't mean that everybody becomes righteous. Note it says, "Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life." If it was the fact that all men receive the righteousness of Christ, then all men would be saved. Do we not see that? But all men are not going to be saved, because all men are not going to be justified. Christ is the means by which we can be justified. He's the means by which we can be made righteous, sanctified in Christ Jesus, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. As in salvation there is that part which God has done in making man righteous, then there is the part that is accomplished by man doing or working righteousness. God has done His part. He gave His only begotten Son as a sacrifice for our sins. And in that one righteous act, we can put our faith in that sacrifice for our sins and work righteousness unto our salvation or justification. The righteousness of God is something which man actually can know. The righteousness of God is something we can know. If we can know it, then we can act on it. In Romans 10 and verse 1 and following, Paul said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God," note this, "but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." The point is they will not work righteousness. They're ignorant of God's righteousness. They're ignorant of God's plan by which they can be made right in God's sight. They're ignorant of God's way by which they can be made right or righteous. And when one is ignorant of God's way by which he can be made righteous, what does he try to do? He tries to establish his own means of being righteous. That is, he comes up with self-righteousness. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." They haven't submitted themselves or obeyed God's plan, God's way by which they can be made righteous. We have to work or do the righteousness of God. Remember, uncontrolled and unchecked anger does not produce the righteousness of God. It's contrary to right. It is wrong. It is evil. It does not work the righteousness of God. Righteousness is something we can know. And those who do not know God's righteousness seek to establish their own way of becoming righteous. So this shows the importance of the Word of God, does it not? Because the Word of God informs us how to be made righteous. It tells us how to be right, virtuous, and upright in the sight of God. We can know the righteousness of God. And if we can know the righteousness of God, that is what is right in the sight of God, then we can work it. We can do it. We can practice righteousness. And so God has revealed for us in His Word the way by which we can be made righteous. Romans 1 and verse 16. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," that is the gospel, "is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." For everyone who believes what? For everyone who believes the gospel is God's power in order to bring about their salvation. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. There's the all men. But note, you've got to believe the gospel in order for it to bring about the salvation of all men. Note this, verse 17, Romans 1. "For in it," that is in the gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed." God's way of making you righteous is revealed in the gospel. You want to know how to work righteousness? You simply open the gospel. You want to know how to practice righteousness in your life? Open the gospel and read the Word of God. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. It's been made manifest to us. It's been made known to us. "For in it," that is in the gospel, "the righteousness of God is real." It's revealed, note this, we've mentioned this many, many times, but we need to understand it. It's revealed from, a Greek preposition, ek, meaning out of. It's revealed out of a body of doctrine and teaching referred to as faith, sometimes referred to as the faith, the gospel. To or in order to faith, that is in order to produce faith in you. So God's plan for making us righteous is revealed out of the gospel. And when you read and study the gospel, you come to believe it. And when you come to believe it, you come to be justified if you respond in obedience to it. Habakkuk 2 and in verse 4. the just shall live by faith. Who are the just? The just are those who are justified. What does it mean to be justified? It means to be forgiven or pardoned of your sins. And then God does what? He declares or pronounces you righteous. So the just, know this, shall live by faith. The just, by faith, by an obedience of faith, shall live. That is, they'll have life. They'll have eternal life. So the righteousness of God is something we can know. It's revealed in the gospel. We have no excuse. We can know the righteousness of God and we can practice the righteousness of God. We can accomplish and achieve the righteousness of God in our life. Well, how does one work or accomplish, achieve the righteousness of God? How is that possible? Well, to work or produce the righteousness of God, one must believe. But what must one believe? Just believe? Just believe in God? Many people believe in God, but they're not justified. Many people believe in God, and it can't be said that they're working righteousness. Multitudes around the world today are worshiping the true and the living God, but they're not working righteousness. We'll make mention in a few moments of Cornelius and his household. They were very devout people, one who feared God with all of his household. But he was not righteous, as we'll see later on. He needed to work or practice righteousness. So simply being a believer in and of itself is not enough. You have to know what to believe. So how does one work or produce the righteousness of God? Well, we know that it's been revealed for us in the gospel. So let me suggest you're going to have to believe the gospel. That's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to believe the gospel and then obey the gospel. In Romans 3 and verse 21 and following, Paul said, "Now the righteousness of God apart or separate from the law," note this, "is revealed." So separate and apart from the law of Moses, God's plan for making man righteous is revealed. We already read that in Romans 1, 16 and 17. The Jew, the unbelieving Jew, thought the way that he was going to become righteous was to keep the works of the law of Moses. But Paul says, separate and apart from the law of Moses, the righteousness of God has been revealed. It's been revealed in the gospel. Know this, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, being witnessed by the law itself. The law itself testifies to the fact that the righteousness of God would be revealed in some other means other than the Old Testament law. Know this, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Now I want you to look at that very closely. Through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. Sounds redundant to me, but the Holy Spirit does not make redundancy in the Scripture. It's actually a mistranslation. Through faith in Jesus Christ. Young's literal translation. Through the faith of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel under consideration. So, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through the faith of Jesus Christ, through the gospel, that's what's under consideration, and on all who believe. On all who believe what? On all who believe that gospel. It is the influence of those who believe in faith only that has mistranslated this passage, along with several others in the New Testament. Because they believe in faith only, then they make the faith in Christ there. They render it as faith in Christ when literally in the Greek it's the faith of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel under consideration. And those who believe in it, in the gospel. It's in harmony with Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes the gospel and is baptized will be saved. Do we not see that? The righteousness of God, Romans 1, verse 16, 17, revealed in the gospel. And so the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel and believed, and we're talking about an obedience of belief here, results in working salvation or working righteousness out to your benefit. Philippians 3 and in verse 9 we have a very similar statement. And be found in him that is in Christ, not having my own righteousness, Paul says, which is from the law of Moses, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Again, we have a mistranslation. You know, faith is mentioned twice, as though it's faith in Christ mentioned two times right together. But again, which is from the law, note the contrast, but that which is through the faith of Christ. It's the gospel under consideration. The righteousness which is from God by faith, by an obedience of faith in that faith, the gospel. Again, it's in harmony with Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. In harmony with Romans 3, 21, 22 that we just read. So how does one work or produce the righteousness of God? By obedience to the gospel. He believes it and responds to it in obedience. That's how one does it. Just as the saints or Christians at Rome had done. Romans 6 and in verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. That form of doctrine to which you were delivered, they were delivered to the gospel. They were given up to the gospel message. They were slaves of sin. But having been given up to the gospel message, and having been set free from your sin through an obedience to that gospel message, you became what? Slaves of righteousness. So how do you work or produce the righteousness of God? You believe and obey the gospel. That's how you work the righteousness of God. You believe and obey the gospel, and you keep believing and obeying the gospel. Thus you work or produce righteousness. Uncontrolled and unchecked anger does not produce the righteousness of God. It's not right before God. It's not upright in His sight. What is upright in His sight is controlling our anger, controlling our tongue, controlling our wrath. So when one wants to produce, work the righteousness of God, he simply believes the gospel and obeys the gospel in baptism. In Matthew 3 and in verse 13, Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But note what Jesus said. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting, it is only right, it is only proper for us to fulfill all righteousness, for us to complete all righteousness. All God's righteous requirements. Then he allowed him. Baptism is something God requires. It is that which is right and fitting and proper that Jesus was to submit to. And it is something right, fitting, and proper that we should submit to if we're going to fulfill or complete the righteousness of God. We work the righteousness of God when we believe the gospel and obey it in baptism.
Amen.
So man works the righteousness of God simply by doing that which is right. That's what it comes down to. But how do we know what is right? By what is contained in the gospel, the Word of God. Because it is therein that the righteousness of God is revealed. In Luke 1 and in verse 6, I often make mention of this when we talk about righteousness. And they, that is Zacharias and Elizabeth, parents of John the Baptizer. Note this, they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of God, blameless or faultless. Walking, that is, they behaved themselves, conducted themselves, and lived in harmony with all the commandments and ordinances, that is, righteous requirements of the Lord. Thus they were righteous. When we simply do that which is contained in the gospel that we're to do, we work that which is right. We work or produce righteousness in our life. And thus, God declares us righteous when we keep His commandments, obey His ordinances, our righteous deeds. 1 John 3 and in verse 7, "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He or Jesus Christ is righteous." You want to practice righteousness? You want to be righteous like Jesus Christ? Now, we'll never be as infinitely righteous as He is, but He's the standard. He's the standard that we seek to meet in our righteous conduct. As we practice and engage and work and do righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is the standard. We seek to meet His standard. He set that standard as the Son of God when He came to this earth, suffered and died on our behalf on the cross. He suffered to the point of death, even the death of the cross. How far and how to what extent was He willing to obey or carry out the will of God in the salvation of man? To lose His very life. He has set the standard of righteousness. We ought to be willing to do the same. He is righteous, and those who practice righteousness will also be righteous.
Amen.
Titus 2 and in verse 11, Paul said, "For the grace of God that brings salvation to all men has appeared, that has become fully known to all men. It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." The only way we know how to live righteously, the only way we know how to live right, is in the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That and no other way. And it pays big dividends to work the righteousness of God. At the household of Cornelius in Acts 10 and verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation," note this, "whoever fears Him, whoever has reverence and respect for God and works righteousness is accepted by Him." There are many people who have respect and reverence for God, but they'll not allow that reverence and respect for God to move them to obedience or to work righteousness. You've got to have reverence and respect for God, and it's got to move you to work righteousness in order to be accepted by Him, in order to be approved by Him, in order for Him to show His favor toward you. If you do that, you'll be like Cornelius and his household. You'll be forgiven of your sins as you work righteousness in obedience to the gospel through baptism. In Matthew 25, in verse 46, we learn that righteousness leads to eternal life. "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Who are the righteous? Those who work righteousness. Those who do what is right. Those who do that which is in harmony with the will of God. Won't you give consideration to the working of righteousness this morning? If you've never obeyed the gospel, you've not worked righteousness. But obeying the gospel is just the beginning. Some people obey the gospel, and then after a period of time, they quit working righteousness. If they quit working righteousness, it will not produce righteousness in their life. You work righteousness in order to become righteous, and then you continue to work righteousness to continue to be righteous. If not, you'll be disapproved in God's sight. You'll be reprobate in God's sight. You'll fall away. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, work the righteousness of God through belief in the gospel and obedience and baptism. If you're a child of God and you have sin in your life, work the righteousness of God. Repent of that sin. Confess that sin. We'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song selected.